again, thank you for coming to share Torah together. Birshus Rabbi Schreier, welcome back. And a Gemar Chasima Tova, a good tiara. It's nice to see you as well. Let's just begin. The Shem Yishmuel writes a beautiful passage in his Mo'adim, Chelek HaMo'adim, and he talks about the Yom Tov of Sukkis. So he says, B'yamim ha'ela, in these days, which are the days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkis, Shehim Reishis Yimei HaShana, V'Reishis HaChiyos, Shednitna B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. This is the beginning of the life that's been given to us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is it. Here we are. Finally, we were Nechtam L'Chaim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We weren't sure what was going to happen, but we got that judgment that we're going to have life. And now, we begin that new life. What already happened, happened. But now, the new year is going to start. Now we begin again. Tzarech Kol Adam, says the Shem Yishmuel, everyone has to be careful. Lishmar Atzmo Me'od. A person has to be very careful to watch over themselves in the beginning of the year. Ke'ein reishis yemei ha'adam shenaseh ha'adam bar mitzvah. The same way when a person's first few months of adult life, the first few months when you become a bar mitzvah, when you become a gadol, you have to look very carefully at those activities, at those actions that are carried out in those first few months. V'amru chazal, in fact, he says, chazal tell us in Sanhedrin, daf samach tes, kal yamav shel ben soru mora eina elo shlosha chadashim harishonim mishenaseh ha'ish. We assume that the whole Parsha Ben Sora Murr, all those Gemaras that discuss it, all the Psukim Parshas Kisetze that tell us about what's supposed to happen when you have a Ben Sora Murr, all of that only applies in the first 3 months of the child's adult life. Why should that be? If you have a child who you know is such a rotten kid, if you know he's doing such terrible things at a young age, why is it that only the first 3 months of his adult life are what's going to call him a Ben Soromer, what's going to deem him a wayward son? What about if he's 15, 16 years old? That should also be. Don't you know? Nidon al shem sofo. In the end, if at 15 he's so terrible, imagine what he's going to be at 25. So why is it only in the beginning? Explains the Shem Yishmuel. No, because achar ha-haschala v'hareishis nigra hakol. Foundations are very, very important. And the way a person is in the beginning of any stage of life, in the beginning of anything, that's what's going to be koveya, what the rest of the life is going to look like. And therefore we assume that a child who's not acting properly in the first 3 months of the adult life, that means he's going to be a Ben Soromer. When he's 15, 16 and he acts up and he makes mistakes, that's not going to tell us for sure the way he's going to be in the future. But when he's 13 and that's just the start of his adult life, we know that he's off to a bad start and we know it's not going to be good in the end. He says the same would apply now at the beginning of the year when we are once again given life as well, when we are given that opportunity after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Eitza Hayautza Lazeh, the way that we can try and give ourselves some piece of advice is Lahatmin Atzma B'Torah V'Iyun Halacha B'Maseches Sukkah. The best way to get this life started on the right foot is to make sure that we thrust ourselves into this study of Talmud Torah, into learning Maseches Sukkah. K'moshe Sukkah Hiya Magina Ba'Asiyah V'Poel. The same way a sukkah, literally, it surrounds us physically. We're able to go inside the sukkah and we're able to be saved from all the winds and all the everything else. Kain Maseches Sukkah Hiya Magina Baruchnias. So too says the Shem Yishmuel, Maseches Sukkah is what's going to save us in the beginning of this life that we've just began once again after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That is going to be what's going to save us and what will ultimately get us off onto a good start for the new year that we have just been given. In fact, it's interesting to note that when you talk about the foundations have to be perfect. I once saw an insight of the Panavizhirov, a beautiful insight. It's obviously a drasha, it's not halacha l'maisa, and it's not to be taken literally, but it's a very interesting drash that he said, that the Panavizhirov pointed out that when you have a building, so imagine you have a contractor comes to build a building, and he's surveying the whole scene, and he's telling this one to put a brick down over there, and that one over there, but never does he bother to take his time to measure out the first layer of bricks to make sure that everything's perfect, to make sure that it's straight. So, 3 feet off the ground, 4 feet off the ground, it's going to be fine. Imagine you get 10 stories up. If you didn't measure it properly in the beginning, so 10 stories off the ground, he's going to be going in an opposite direction. It's not just that it's not going to be straight. He's going to be going in a totally different direction than he was supposed to go. Said the Panavizhirov, what does a contractor have to use to make sure that every time he builds a foundation, it's going to be absolutely perfect the way it's supposed to be with all the dimensions? What does he use? Anybody know? A level. Right, the little thing that has the bubble in it, right? You should know this. The little thing that has the water bubble in it, so it's a level. What does a level do? A level makes it that all of the approximations that he sees with his own eyes, he wants to make sure that everything's exactly perfect the way it's supposed to be. And if he doesn't use that, he's going to be way off in the future. Said the Panavizhirov, what do you call a level in Hebrew? Anybody know? The Hebrew word for a level, let's see what a good contractor you are now. The Hebrew word for a level is anach, aleph nunch. The Panavizhirov said, ha'anach shali, the anach, the leveler that we have to use at our foundation, at the beginning of every decision that we make in our own lives, has to be Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ha'anach Shali, the level that I use, the way I determine how every decision in my life is going to be looking, and what the outcome is going to be, always has to be Hashem Elokecha. That's the way that we always have to judge everything. Is this action, is this activity that I'm about to do going to bring me closer in that direction of Hashem Elokecha? Or is it going to drive me a little further away? And you say, well, what's the big deal? It's just a little decision here, a little decision over there, a little action, a little activity, no big deal. Well, it's no big deal now, but imagine 5 days down, 5 months down the line, 5 years down the line, you have no idea what this little action that you do now, which direction it's going to send you off of in a way different direction than you wanted your life to be going in. So this is something, foundations we believe are something that are very important. And it's something like the Shem Yishmuel tells us we should consider at this time of the year when we have the foundation, the opportunity for ourselves to build these foundations, to start off our year on the right foot. This is the best way to start it, to have Talmud Torah, to throw ourselves into the learning of Torah, and to bring ourselves closer to what God actually wants from us, to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants from the Jewish people, to be throwing themselves into Talmud Torah. So the tour, let's begin. The tour in Aruch Chaim writes in Siman Tav Reish Chaf Hei. He asked the famous question, why is it that we have Sukkos at this time of the year? As we know, Sukkos is really Ki basukkos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael b'hotziu osam be'eretz Mitzrayim. We know that Sukkos is really a commemoration for Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a commemoration for the huts that we sat in. The Gemara has a machlokas in the beginning. Is it Sukkos mamish? Is it Anani HaKavod? What did the Ribbono Shel Olam give them when they came out of Mitzrayim and they were traveling in the Midbar? Did he give them actual huts or did he just give them the Anani HaKavod? But either way, we assume Ki basukkos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael, the whole commemoration of Sukkos is to remind us of the miracle that happened upon Yitzias Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim and there were wonderful miracles that happened, one of them was that we were saved either by Anani HaKavod or by the actual creation of huts in the Midbar. In fact, the Bach and the Mishnah Berurah quotes as the Halacha, the Bach writes that since over here the Torah says, Ki basukkos hoshavti, this is the reason why you have the Yom Tov of Sukkos, the Bach argues that perhaps over here, if you don't have Kavana when you sit in the Sukkah, if you don't have Kavana that I'm doing it, Ki basukkos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael, I don't have Kavana that I'm doing this because God took us out of Mitzrayim, God performed a miracle, then you are actually not Mekayim, you are not in fulfillment of your mitzvah of Sukkah. This is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. There are a couple of places where he has it. The Bach writes the same thing in Hilchos Tzitzis, and he writes the same thing in Hilchos Tefillin. That you have to know in these three places, the Kavana is Ma'akev. You have to actually know what it is that you're doing and why it is that you're doing this. Over here the Torah says, the reason why you do the mitzvah of Sukkah is because you came out of Mitzrayim, and an unbelievable miracle happened. So ask the tour, the famous question from the Rishonim, if that's true, so then why do we have the commemoration of Sukkot at this time of the year? Sukkot really should have been commemorated Nisan time, when we have Pesach. So what are we doing celebrating Sukkot at this time of year? Says the tour as follows. Lefi shehu yimos hakayitz. In the summertime, when we have Pesach, it's beautiful weather outside. It's spring. V'dera kol ha'adam laso sukkah l'tzel. Most regular people who have, let's say, you know, enough means, so they have a summer house, or they have some sort of hut that they go outside to spend time in. We would not have an easy, recognizable activity that we're doing. It wouldn't be so obvious for anyone who sees us sitting in a hut. It wouldn't be obvious that we're doing it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It wouldn't be obvious that we're doing this for God. Anyone who sees us would say, oh, it's the nice weather outside. Of course he's going outside. Doesn't have anything to do with religion. So therefore he says, V'lachein, tziva osanu shanasa b'chodesh ha-shvi. Therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded us that we should specifically make the Yom Tov of Sukkos in this time of year. Shu zman yiridus ha-gashamim. This is the time of year when it's not so pleasant outside, when it's a little bit chilly. It's the time of year when it rains very often. And therefore, derech kol adam latzeis misukas v'leishah bebeis. So this is the time when most people in the year are packing up their summer houses. They're not going to the beaches anymore. It's too cold for that. Yet we show that we're willing to go out of our homes. We're going to do something only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only for God. And we're going to make it so obvious that we do it at a time of year which is against what the rest of the world would actually do at this time of year. This is what the Torah writes. It reminded me, when I saw the Torah, it reminded me, I think the Ritva writes in Maseches Pesachim. The beginning of Pesachim, the Gemara has a discussion about making a bracha over lasayasan. You should try to make a bracha before performing a mitzvah. So all the Rishonim discuss it over there, what exactly the parameters are, and in which brachas do we say this kind of nusach and that kind of nusach, al and li, when do you say which one? However, the Ritva over there writes, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't have a chance to look it up, but the Ritva, I think, writes Why is it that we have this idea of making a bracha over lasiyasin? Why do we have to make a bracha before we do a mitzvah? So before you eat, the Gemara says in brachos, you have to make a bracha before you eat, because otherwise, it's as if you're stealing. The bracha is what allows you to eat. But what about when I'm performing a mitzvah? What's the reason to make a bracha then? Says the Ritva also. Because somebody who passes by and sees you washing your hands, they don't know you're washing your hands for alam tilas yadayim. They don't know you're washing your hands because the Chachamim said you have to wash your hands before eating bread. They think you're washing your hands because your hands are dirty. So you have to recite a bracha to show that everything that you're doing is really for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's the way the Rishonim explained the whole idea of over lasiyasim. Why do you have to make a bracha before you do something? Because when we perform the mitzvahs, we try to highlight the fact that we're doing it not because we want to do it. We're doing it because this is what God asked us to do, and that's the only reason. So that's what the Torah writes over here as well. When we have this idea of sukkah, when we have this idea of commemorating kibbutz sukkos, hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael v'hotzios ha'me'aretz Mitzrayim, we don't want to do it in the summertime, in the spring, when we would be accused of doing so only because it's so beautiful outside and the weather is so pleasant, and that's why we're sitting outside. No, we bedafka do it at this time of year, when it's not so pleasant outside, when it's a little bit chilly, when it's raining outside, to show that still we're willing to do it because this is the mitzvah Hashem. This is the way the Torah explains it. This is the way the Ramban on Chumash explains it as well in Parshas Emor. However, the Aruch HaShulchan has a very different suggestion, and this is a very beautiful one. Od Yesh Tomer says the Aruch HaShulchan Siman Tav Kuf Chaf Hei, which is the same place where the Torah is. Aruch HaShulchan answers the question differently. Od Yesh Tomer Tam Nachon Amasha HaMitzvah B'Tishrei V'Lo B'Nisan. He says, I want to give a different suggestion. Why is it that we have this mitzvah specifically at this time of year and not in Nisan? L'fi She'ratzu Hu Yisbarach Laharos. The Ribbono Shel Olam, God wants to show us. Even though we have all done averus, we've all done terrible things, we've made very negative choices in our lives. He wants us to know that as bad as you may have acted in the past year, I'm not giving up on you. I don't take away my divine spirit that is always looking after you. He wants us to know you are always sitting in my shadow. I'm always taking care of you. And we will always find comfort in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You go back to the Dar HaMidbar. They had this unbelievable experience of Matan Torah, and immediately afterward they fall down and they do the most egregious mistake. They do the mistake of the Egel Avodah Zarah. Even though that's true, God gave them a second chance. That wasn't it. You didn't give up on them. What do you mean? You went to serve Avodah Zarah. That's it. But still, how many of us have ever served Avodah Zarah? I would imagine no one. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing to take them back after they served the Egel, so he says, this is what we commemorate as well. La'achar Yom HaKippurim, Tzivanu Lasos HaMishkan. In the Midbar, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu went and asked forgiveness. He was forgiven on Yom Kippur. That's when they got to Luchos Shnios. And then Hashem came along right away and said they should build a Mishkan. That was the first thing that they were told right afterward. Kimo Kein. Also, Lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvah Hazu Dugmasa L'Doros. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing for all generations. She'afal Pishanu Chotim Kalashana. Even though we make mistakes all year long, even though we make poor choices all year long with the different averus that we do, Mikam Makom. B'Yom HaKippur Mechaper Avonu Seinu. On Yom Kippur, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us another chance, and He lets us get an atonement for the mistakes that we made. Kishanu Shavim B'Tshuva. V'simen L'davar. And what He wants to show is, don't worry, I've accepted your tshuva, I love you, you can find favor in my eyes, don't worry, you can always rest in my shadow, you're going to be taken care of. And therefore He wants to show us that this is true. And the same way in the Midbar, He commanded them right after they got a kapara to go ahead and build a Mishkan, says the Aruch HaShulchan, He commands us immediately following Yom Kippur to go ahead and build a sukkah. That now you're not going to be in the privacy of your own homes, you're not going to be in the comfort of your own homes, now you're going to be outside and I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you, there's nothing to be afraid of, all the elements in the natural world, God is always here looking after you. And don't think that Yom Kippur passed and nothing worked. Yom Kippur passed and it did an amazing job. And because it did such a good job, and because we were Shav B'Tshuva Shlema, because we returned to Him, therefore He tells us, you go outside and demonstrate the fact that you believe that the tshuva actually worked and that it was accepted. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, perhaps a different reason why it is that we have Sukkot commemorated at this time of year and not at a different time of the year. Rav Asher Weiss gave a drasha once where he quoted the Dubna Magid, and I saw it's printed, I just saw this morning, that it's printed again in this Sefer. Rav Asher Weiss has a Sefer on his drashas on different Yom Tovim, so I saw it's reprinted here, but I heard it originally was even better than printed. So he quoted as follows. The Dubna Magid has a very interesting question. Duvna Magid was famous for all his different mishalim that he used to give. So the Duvna Magid asked a very interesting question. Why is it that we find people, even if they're not moved throughout Yom Kippur, throughout Aseres Yemei Tshuva, throughout Rosh Hashanah, throughout Elul, somehow when it comes to Ne'ilah, a lot of people are crying. A lot of people are crying. And he asked, why is it? It doesn't really make sense. When we finally get to Ne'ilah, and we finally realize that God is going to forgive our sins because we've just gone through a whole day acting like malachim. We haven't eaten, we haven't done so many different things that we weren't allowed to do. We sat in shul davening a whole day. We only spoke wonderful things. We didn't speak any lashon hara. Why should we be crying now? Now is the time to be happy. Now is the time to be dancing. What are we crying about at this point of Yom Kippur? Maybe to cry at the beginning of Kol Nidre because you don't know how it's going to end up. You don't know if I'm actually going to be able to have kavana while I'm davening. Maybe that would make sense, but why are we crying at Ne'ilah? Why does that make sense? So the Dibna Magid said the following mashal. He said there was once a melech echad who had a bas yechida, he had an only child, an only daughter, and he was looking for the perfect son-in-law for this woman, and as we know, the daughter of the king is going to be a queen one day on her own, and we know that you have to find a very good son-in-law because he's going to run part of the country now as they get married. So what happens? He goes looking all over the world for this wonderful son-in-law. He gets unbelievable recommendations. He chooses a guy who seems to be a wonderful person, and his daughter gets married to this man. They move out. The king gives them some palace far out in the sticks somewhere, and the king says to him, I want you to be in charge of this province that I'm giving you. I want you to look after it. I want you to take care of everything. Take care of my daughter, obviously. He says, yes, sure, everything's fine. They move away. And the daughter never gets to see her father. The father's busy in his palace. Her husband and herself are busy in their palace. And as it turns out, this guy was the biggest lowlife in the world. It turns out he was tricking everyone. He was fooling everybody. Behind closed doors, he was abusing his wife. Everything was terrible. But she doesn't know what to do. How can she tell anybody? It will be an embarrassment for the king. And she can't even tell her father because the father lives a few hundred miles away. He's in his palace. She's in her palace. How are they going to get the message from one to the other? So it turns out they get a letter in the mail a few weeks later that the king is coming to visit them. The king wants to see what's doing in this province. He wants to see how the new son-in-law is acting. He wants to see how he's taking care of this little country that he gave him. So she's all excited. Finally, she's going to have the opportunity to speak to her father. What happens? The son-in-law understands that this is going to happen. This is going to take place. And they're going to see straight through him. So what does he do? He makes sure that he treats the king like royalty. The king comes to town. The son-in-law obviously goes out miles and miles to meet him. And he picks him up in the fanciest chariots. And he brings him out for all the greatest delicacies. And he has everything. It's wonderful. He doesn't even give his wife a chance. He doesn't even give the daughter a chance to have 5 free seconds with her father to complain about him. He makes sure that the king won't have a minute to go talk to his daughter. So this is going on for a couple of days. Finally, the daughter sends the husband out somewhere after a couple of days went by, and she says, I need to talk to my father. And the father says, of course we can talk to one another. And he sends the son-in-law out, and the daughter starts telling the father everything that went on. The Dubna Magid points out that maybe this is what happens at the end of Yom Kippur as well. Here we are, faking our way through Yom Kippur, acting like malachim. We're not eating, we're not sleeping, we spent a whole day acting like malachim. We didn't eat, we didn't do all sorts of things that we do throughout the year. We daven so much. And the concern is that perhaps the neshama, perhaps the Yetzirah for that matter, will come on Matzah Yom Kippur, or will come during the Ilah and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these people acted like malachim. They're like the son-in-law who really put on an act as if he's going to take care of the daughter so well. But that's not really who they are. They're not really going to act that way throughout the year. And that's why we cry throughout the tefillah of Ne'ilah. That's why people are so nervous throughout Ne'ilah, because they're concerned that maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to listen to those questions of the neshama. Maybe he's going to listen to those tainas of the Yetzer Hara, and he's going to give in and say, yes, in fact, these people are not really worthy. They're not really who they claim to be. They're not really as authentic as they would seem on Yom Kippur itself. Until there is what the Dibna Magid said in his mashal. However, Rav Asher Weiss added that if the melech was really a smart melech, if he really wanted to figure out how to deal with this situation properly, what the melech would do is he would invite this husband and wife, he would invite his daughter and son-in-law to come spend a week with him in his palace. And he would invite them over that they should come, and he should watch and scrutinize every activity, he should watch every way, every time the husband opens his mouth to his wife, he would want to see very carefully how they interact with one another.
And that, said Rav Asher Weiss, is perhaps what the Ribbono Shel Olam does with us as well. He invites us for a week after Yom Kippur, after he listens to the question that the Neshama raises, after he listens to the question that the Yetzer Hara raises against us, all those claims, and he invites us for a week to come live in his palace with him, the Tzlusa de Mehemanusa. He invites us to come sit in the Sukkah where it's only going to be us and him, and it's no other distractions and it's nothing else, and he wants to pay attention and he wants to see how exactly are we going to be living our lives after the time of Yom Kippur is actually over. How authentic were we on that day of Yom Kippur? Is it really who we are? Is it really what we're about? Is it really a standard that we're ready to keep up to throughout the year? Or is it just all a fake, and is it something that the Neshama's question is really correct about? And therefore, said Rav Asher Weiss, we have this unbelievable opportunity after Yom Kippur to have a week spent together with none other than the Melech Malchei Amlachim, with none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We have this unbelievable opportunity to come and spend time with him, that he can come and scrutinize and look at the way we're going to spend our time, to show that we're going to be in his palace, that we're going to behave, that we're going to show him that everything that we did on Yom Kippur is absolutely authentic. It's what we really believe in, and it's something we believe we can really stand up to. It's a level and it's a degree that we can live our lives by. You know, my father always says over how there's a mitzvah on sukkahs, teishu ke'en todiru. Everything has to be the same. This is the reason why we hang designs in the sukkah. This is the reason why people put carpet in the sukkah and beautiful chairs and all comfortable tables and beautiful linens on the beds. We put all sorts of things to try to make our homes just like the sukkah. My father always likes to say that part of Teshuva Kein Toduru also means you have to make sure to talk Lashon Hara. You have to make sure the same way on Shabbos morning when you come home from shul, you make fun of the rabbi's drasha. So on sukkahs, you also have to make sure that you make fun of the rabbi's drasha. Everything exactly the same. Now, obviously, this is a joke, but when you think about it, it's something to be very careful about. When you think about sukkahs in this perspective, when you think that sukkahs is our opportunity to actually spend time in the Malchus, in the King, in the castle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in the Tzilusa de Mehemanusa, that we're spending time in his shade, in the Ribbono Shel Olam's light, and we're trying to show that we are different, that we're actually living up to the standard that we set for ourselves on Yom Kippur, it's something to be extra careful about. When we come to the Sukkah, we really have to have a higher standard. We cannot talk Lashon Hara. We cannot allow ourselves to act in the same way that we would act throughout the rest of the year. So again, we have this Yom Tov of Sukkot that comes directly following the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. And again, we began with what the Torah writes, and we spoke about the different reasons why it is that Sukkot comes at this time of year. Be it as it may, the Rama writes both in Arachayim Siman Tav Resh Chav Dalet, as well as in Arachayim Tav Resh Chav Hey. It's interesting that the Rama has the same halacha, two simanim in a row. I haven't really found a sufficient, satisfying answer as to why the Rama repeats this halacha twice, but says the Rama, "V'hamedaktikim aschilim miyad b'matzah Yom Kippur ba'asiyas hasukah." Right away, the medaktikim, those who are careful, make sure that right away after Yom Kippur is over, they start right away to make the sukkah kedei latzeis mi mitzvah el mitzvah, in order that they should go directly after they finish getting off of the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur, they go directly into the mitzvahs of sukkahs and they build the sukkah. Again, the Raman Tafrei Shchafei writes as well, mitzvah l'sakin hasukkah miyad la'achar Yom Kippurim. Why? Because mitzvah haba liyado al yachmitzena. This is something we learned from the pasuk Gushmartem es hamatzos, and here the Rama is quoting that halacha that we have to do it right away, we should not wait. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Mishai efshalo laso sukkah b'matzah Yom HaKippurim. Let's say you have somebody who is not able to build a sukkah on Yom Kippur. For example, a person is not strong enough, a person is too old, a person is too weak, or you need a couple of family members to help you, and no one's able to help you on Matzah Yom Kippur. So how are you going to be mekayim this halacha of the Rama? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Yilmok tzas mi meseches sukkah ol midine sukkah. A person should sit down after Yom Kippur, and instead of actually physically building the sukkah, you should go ahead and learn some of the halachas of sukkah, or some of the dinim. Ulamachar Yom Kippurim, and then the next day, we have a couple of days in between Yom Kippur and sukkahs, you should try one of those days to build your sukkah, but it doesn't mean specifically to build it physically, it means even building it, so to speak, spiritually, to go ahead and look through the halachas and understand everything that you need to be careful about while building your sukkah and while sitting in the sukkah throughout the Yom Tov of sukkahs. In fact, in the Sefer Aliyos Eliyahu, it's told about the Vilna Gaon, that one of the Rabbanim in Vilna came into his home on Matzah Yom Kippur, and he said to the Vilna Gaon, "Halo nachon l'kvoa tekef yaseid besukkah k'minigo olam." We know that the practice is, like the Rama says, Tafresh Chav Dalet, Tafresh Chav Hey, the practice is that a person should go right away after Yom Kippur and build the sukkah. He should go and bang the nails into the walls. So, l'chui tiyu nekayim yachad. So the Rav in Vilna said to the Vilna Gaon, maybe we should go together. I'll come and help you build yours. You'll help me build mine. And then we'll be mekayim this din of the Rama. Vehiviu achedra, the Vilna Gaon takes him into his room. Vayikach masecha sukkah, the Vilna Gaon sits down at his table, and he takes out a gemara sukkah, vayilmedu, and they learn together kol halayla, hamasechta sukkah, they sat together that whole night, Matsuyom Kippur, and they learned masechta sukkah. Zehu, said the Vilna Gaon, zehu hayaseit shekavati b'makom neman. This is the nail that I banged into my sukkah, because this is, said the Vilna Gaon, it doesn't only mean that you have to physically build your sukkah, but it also means you have to sit and be busy with all the halachas of sukkah, make sure you understand everything that you have to know about the Yom Tov of Sukkah, that is Haba Aleinu Latova. In fact, the Shalah writes that not only should you be careful, like the Ramah says, to start right away with learning Hilchos Sukkah, with building your Sukkah after Yom Kippur, the Shalah even says you should do it Kodem Sheyochal, not so Yom Kippur, you should do it before you sit down to eat. This is the first thing right away. Doesn't mean you should spend hours and hours, but he says you should sit down at least to learn one halacha, at least to discuss a little bit with your family members. How are we going to build the Sukkah? When are we taking it out? What are we going to do? What's the procedure? What days? What hours? When are we going to build the sukkah and how's it going to look? That's something you should take care of right away, even before you sit down to eat on Matzah Yom Kippurim. This is something that's very, very important because, as we said, there's a reason why Yom Kippur and sukkahs have that close, deep connection to one another. There's a reason why they were put on the Jewish calendar one right after the other. Let's just close with an unbelievable insight of the Shem Yishmuel. And over here, the Shem Yishmuel writes from his father, the Avnei Nezer. Rav Asher Weiss always used to tell me that the Shem Yishmuel had a father, but that father really had two personalities. He had two different hats. He had the personality of the Sachet Sheva Rebbe, and he had the personality of the Avnei Nezer. And sometimes you have the Avnei Nezer speaking, and sometimes the Shem Yishmuel quotes the Sachet Sheva Rebbe. You have to figure out each time which father he's quoting. Is he quoting the father from his chassidus, or is he quoting the father from his lamdus and all his gaonis and all his brilliance in learning? So we hear the Shem Yishmuel has an absolutely beautiful insight. I was very taken by this insight, where he says that we all know the Ramah that we just quoted, that we're careful to build a sukkah on Matzah Yom Kippur. Said the Shem Yishmuel, what's the pshat? Why does the Ramah say we have this idea right away to build the sukkah? Why not give us some time to breathe? Why not give us a day or two? Why does the Ramah say that right away when you come home you have to build the sukkah right away, Matzah Yom Kippur? What is that idea based on? Says the Shem Yishmuel, and I'll read because it's so beautiful. Nira Lomar Shehu Keinyan Sha'amru Zal B'Maseches Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Shem Yishmuel, this is based on an idea from the Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. What does the Gemara say there? Well, the Gemara there is talking about Lel HaSeder, and the Gemara says that we have, as everybody knows, we have four cups of wine. Like Rashi and the Rashbam, right? We have four cups of wine that are keneged the Dalid Lishonos Shel Geula. So over there, in the context of that Gemara of Dalid Kosos, the Gemara tells us that Bein Shlishi L'Revi Lo Yishte, between the third and fourth cup of wine, one is not allowed to drink. Again, the third cup of wine is what we drink by Birchas Hamazon. The fourth cup of wine is what we drink after the reciting, after the recitation of Hallel. So says the Gemara, one is not allowed to drink any cups of wine in between the cup of wine that's drunk by the Birchas Hamazon and the cup of wine that we drink after reciting the Hallel. However, when it comes to the other cups of wine, between the second and third, as we know, it's in the middle of the meal, a person's allowed to drink as much wine as they want. Between the third and the fourth, that's when we say no one's allowed to drink. And what's the reason why you're not allowed to drink between the third and the fourth cups of wine? Says the Shem Yishmuel, quoting from his father, the Avnei Nezer, V'hatam higid kvod kedushas avi adoni moir v'rabi zatzal. Ki dalid kosos hem keneged dalid lishono shel hageula. As we know, the Rishonim tell us the dalid kosos on Pesach are keneged the dalid lishono shel hageula. V'hotseisi v'hitzalti v'gaalti v'lakachti. V'mhayim afsikim ben shlishi l'ravi. If we would make a break, if we would make a separation, if we would stop ourselves in between the drinking of the third cup and the fourth cup, hayamore shehageula hi inyan bifnei atzmo. That would give off the impression that this that we got taken out of Mitzrayim was an independent activity. It was a once-in-a-lifetime happening. It was an occurrence that happened that wasn't connected to anything else because God felt bad for us. God realized that we were being oppressed there. The Ribbono Shel Olam realized the time has come for the Jews to stop suffering, and he took us out, and that was the end of the story. V'halakicha hi matan Torah hi inim bifnei atzma. Again, the third cup is connected. V'ga'alti means rhyme. So if you drink the third cup and then you stop, you're showing that their Geula of Mitzrayim was an independent act. It was not to the fourth cup, which is V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am. What does that mean? V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am means Bechiras Yisrael. We were given the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after we came out of Mitzrayim, gave us the Torah. He brought us to Har Sinai. He so lovingly took us as his nation again. And therefore says the Avnei Nezer, as quoted by his son, Imhayim Afsikim Ben Shlishi Le'Ravi, if we would make a break in between, it would show as if we don't believe that the whole idea, the whole emphasis of why we were taken out of Mitzrayim was only for that one purpose. It's not because we suffered so much, but rather it's because God wanted to take us as his chosen people. Because he wanted to give us the Torah on Har Sinai 40 days later. Because he wanted us to keep the mitzvahs and he wanted us to be the Am HaNivchar. That was the entire reason for V'ga'alti Eschem Mitzrayim. In order that V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am. As the Pasuk says, V'hotziyacha Esa'ami Mitzrayim, Tavdun es Elokim al Hahar Hazeh. The whole point, the whole idea, the objective of taking us out of Mitzrayim was simply for that one reason, to give us the Torah in order that we should be Tavdun es Elokim al Hahar Hazeh. Like the Shem Yishmo writes, Hagu'ula lo haisa ela kidei lekabel es HaTorah. Now, once you understand that's the reason why you're not allowed to make a break, a pause, in between the third cup and the fourth cup on Leil HaSeder, says the Shem Yishmol, perhaps we can extend that idea and understand why it is that Sukkot comes directly after Yom Kippur as well. Ulufi ha'amar yesh lomar. Shezeh atzmo hu ha'inyin lahaschil miyad b'matzah Yom HaKippurim ba'asiyas ha'sukkah. Why is it that we begin directly after Yom Kippur is over with building the sukkah? Ki b'yom HaKippurim yatzo Nafshos Yisrael L'Cheirus. On Matzah Yom Kippur, the Jewish soul, so to speak, were also in prison. We were also like enslaved, the same way we were in Mitzrayim, so too we were enslaved, and Yom Kippur is that liberating day when the Jewish people come out free, when we come out on top, when the Ribbono Shel Olam forgives us and he allows us to continue on to have life. V'yesh lomar shebetam zeh atzmo natzchu dina. What is the reason, says the Shem Yishmol, why we were saved? The whole reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us life, the whole reason why he allowed us to take another year of precious time on this earth is because he wants us to remember that we're put on this earth to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. We're put on this earth, Tavdun Es Elokim Al Hahar Hazeh, the reason why V'ga'alti Yechem, the reason why I liberated you on Yom Kippur, is again, in order that you should be able to have the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, in order that you should have the chance to go and be Mekayim HaMitzvahs, to be the Am HaNivchar, and to really act in a way that you're really supposed to in this world. Therefore, says the Shem Yishmol, this is why Yom Kippur and Sukkot come one right after the other. This is why right after Yom Kippur, we have this opportunity to go and immediately build a Sukkah. Why does the Ramah say we should do it on Matzah Yom Kippur right away? Why should we be involved in these 4 days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot? Why should we put so much focus and so much energy on the halachas of Sukkot? The reason simply is because the whole reason why we've been given another lease on life is because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us Tavdun Es Elokim Al Hahar Hazeh. It's because God wants us to serve him. It's because he wants us to be the Am HaNivchar. It's because he wants us to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. And therefore, right away, after he's given us another lease on life, we make sure that we live up to that opportunity. We make sure that we really deserve the life that he's giving us. And we make sure to throw ourselves directly into this mitzvah of being involved in Sukkah, of building our Sukkah, and learning the halachas of Sukkah as well. Like the first Shem Yishmol that we started with. Yom Kippur is an unbelievable time. Aseres Yimei Tshuva is an amazing time. Why? Because it's the beginning of the year, and foundations are really, really important. Foundations are going to be the way the rest of our year is going to be determined. Like the Shem Yishmol said in the beginning that we began with, Lahatmin atzo b'to uvi'in halacha b'masecha sukkah. The greatest way to make sure that we have a strong foundation for the coming year, to make sure that we are going to have a year that's filled with growth, that's filled with ruchnius, is only going to be if we're matmin atzma b'torah, if we throw ourselves into the mitzvahs, if we throw ourselves into the Torah, and we make sure that we have that protection, that we have that foundation that's made kol kula from ruchnius. We make sure that everything, all of our focus, all of our energies in the foundation stages of our new life that we've been given are always focused and directed toward the mitzvahs Hashem, toward being mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and toward following all the things that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us to do at this time of the year. And Mitzvah Shem will continue tomorrow. I wish everyone a wonderful day.